Then he goes on to say, therefore, verse 1, this is the true grace of God. Put aside all malice, that's all hatred, put it away. All guile and hypocrisy. Guile and hypocrisy means the same thing. But he uses two words to emphasize how serious it is to be a hypocrite. Put away all hatred of other people. People who harmed you, can you honestly say that you wish good for them? That is the way I test myself nowadays. I remember many, many years ago in my life when somebody did harm to me, and I said, Lord, I forgive them completely, to the best of my knowledge, from my heart. And a little later I heard that something bad happened to one of them. And even though I didn't say anything with my mouth, in my heart, I was a little delighted. And the Lord said, are you happy? I said, yes, I'm sorry, I'm happy that something bad happened to that guy who did some harm to me. And the Lord said to me, forget about him. You have not forgiven him from your heart. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. All this time, I sincerely thought I had forgiven him from my heart because I said it. Lord, I've forgiven him from my heart. But in that moment when something bad happened to him and I felt happy about it, I discovered that I did not forgive him from my heart. Who feels happy when something bad happens to somebody? God or the devil? Tell me. You know. God's never happy when anything bad happens to anyone. He wants to save that person from that. But the devil's happy. And I realize that when I'm happy that something bad happened to someone who harmed me, I, without realizing it, I'm sort of holding hands with the devil there. Yeah, Satan, that's good. That guy deserves it because he did some harm to me. He spoke some evil about me. That is the blood of Abel. The Bible says the blood of Abel cried out to God, take revenge on Cain who killed me. But Hebrews 12 says, the blood of Jesus, when it fell to the ground, cried out, Father, forgive them for killing me. And it compares in Hebrews 12, the blood of Jesus with the blood of Abel. And it says that is the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. And it's very easy to find out. When somebody harms you, like Cain harmed Abel, or the Pharisees harmed Jesus, what comes out, the blood that flows, is it crying out for vengeance or forgiveness? That's a very good way to find out whether you have entered the new covenant or not. So often we think, yeah, I'm in the new covenant. I belong to a new covenant church. Hang on, just wait a minute. Check yourself. You can check right now. Think of all the people who harmed you, did evil to you, or you imagine they did evil to you, spoke evil about you. What do you wish for them? Right now, what do you wish for them? There are two ways you can test it. One is, if something bad happens to them, you feel happy. Or the other way is, when you hear something very good happen to them or their children, do you feel a bit sad? Oh, I wish it would go badly. It's going so well with them. Both ways you can find out that you have not forgiven them from your heart. Is there any sin that another person is permitted to do to you which you are not supposed to forgive? The greatest sin in the world was crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and he forgave them. What sin is there that you cannot forgive? If you have that attitude, it shows you have not understood the Christian message because you have believed the false gospel preached in so many places and on Christian television. I would encourage you to stop listening to those Christian TV programs lest you lose your soul and land in the lap of the devil one day. If you go to YouTube, listen to messages that stir you to stay away from sin. There are a few like that, maybe 1%, I think. But most of the others just encourage you to live as you like. They entertain you. The gospel is not meant for entertainment. When a house is on fire, you're not going to do a drama before those people. You're going to rush in and pull people out and tell them, get out. And yell at them, don't get out of there. That's how I look at it, you know. If a man's sleeping in a house and the house is on fire, you don't say, hey sir, will you please get out? And he doesn't listen to you. No! You shake the table, take the bed and throw him out and get him out of the house. Even if he gets angry with you, when he gets out of the house and his life is saved, he'll be thankful. That's what I tell many people. In the day of judgment, you'll be thankful that you listen to me when you see what happened to all these other people who listen to other preachers. I don't care what you think of me today. I'm not interested. And so Peter says, putting aside all malice. How much of malice? All malice. All hatred. All wickedness. All guile. All envy. All slander. This is the true grace of God. Not something that says, no, you can't. Once in a while you'll fall. That's not the true grace of God. The true grace of God says, put aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. And if you want to do that, be like a newborn baby that's always crying out for milk. Have you seen newborn babies crying out? I mean, anybody can see when a little newborn baby is crying for milk. He's not crying for money, he's crying for milk. And if you're really born again, I believe this is one of the tests of real new birth. And I have to say, it's quite likely that a number of you here are not really born again. I have to tell you the truth. Because I've seen some of you, and I can see it in some of your faces, and especially in your eyes, some of you are not born again. The Bible speaks about people who got haughty eyes. The Bible speaks about people who got eyes full of adultery. Peter could see it. People without discernment cannot see it. But pride can be seen in a person's eyes. Adultery can be seen in a person's eyes. Impurity. There are many things that can be seen in a people's eyes. That's why, you know, when they want to conceal a person's face, all they have to do is cover his eyes. Have you noticed that? In all these pictures, when they want to conceal somebody's face, all they got to do is cover his eyes and you can't make out who it is. That's all. That's why all these Secret Service people wear dark glasses. It's in the eyes that you see what a person is like. And spiritually, I've seen that for many, many years. Like, that's why I say I believe that number of you are not born again, really. And unfortunately for you, you somehow managed to slip into the old CFC commitment list by convincing some elder perhaps, or some deacon, I don't know who, that you were born again. That good brother may not have had discernment, or he may have sought your popularity, or he may have been a good friend of yours, not loved you enough to tell you the truth about yourself. Thank God we have scrapped that commitment list so that nobody deceives themselves anymore that they are born again. If you're born again, I mean, you go to any doctor, any healthy child will immediately start crying for milk. In fact, crying is one of the first things. It's mark of a healthy baby born. And it cries regularly, every day, many times a day, it cries for milk. You have a baby that never cries for milk. You have to put it in the incubator. It's not healthy. And you say a person who's born again and has no desire to read the Word of God, I say that's not really born again. Because it says here, like newborn babes, read it in your Bible, 1 Peter 2 verse 2, long for the pure milk of the Word of God. Every newborn babe longs for the mother's milk. And the true grace of God says, every truly born again child of God will long for God's word. I asked Jesus to come into my heart the first time when I was 13. I don't know whether he came, probably he didn't, because I was not sincere or I didn't repent properly. And in the next 6 years, from the age of 13 to 19, I Many times I said, Lord, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart. Never sure. But I remember when I was 19 and a half, suddenly I got an assurance. Christ has come in. And you know what happened? From that time, I began to cry for the word of God. I didn't have victory over sin. No, I was defeated. But I had a tremendous desire to study the word of God. And for the next 7 years, I devoured the scriptures. And that is the knowledge of scripture that I studied between the ages of 19 and 26 that has preserved me till today. And that's even given me a ministry. But nobody told me to study the scriptures. There was not a single person who said, come on, Zach, study the scriptures. You don't have to go to a healthy baby and say, come on, cry out for your mother's milk. You understand that? Why does somebody have to come to you and say, come on, read the word of God? I'll tell you why. Because you're not born again. You're an unhealthy, premature birth. Not fit to live. And if you continue like that, you'll die. The true grace of God shows that a genuinely born again person will have a constant hunger for the word of God. Every healthy baby will cry out for milk more than once a day. And it's not just to ease his conscience. You know, some people ease their conscience. Ah, I read the Bible today. It's like a baby saying, okay, I don't have to cry now once anymore for milk. I drank my mother's milk this morning. Is that why a baby cries for milk? To ease its conscience? I did it today. Tick off. I asked my mother for milk. Finished. If you read the Bible like that, you're not really born again. I'll tell you that. But that's not the way a baby wants to drink milk. I'm not saying you must read the Bible all the time. The Bible says, blessed is the man who meditates on the word of God day and night and who obeys it. So I don't have to have my Bible. In fact, for 1400 years, there was no printed Bible in the world. But you could still have the word of God in your mind. It's more in the mind. God speaks to our mind and our heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, David said in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So when we receive, for example, you receive the word of God today, every day of your life, you must long to hear something God reminds you of the word of God. If you have a Bible, of course, much easier. You can read it. But to every day to be reminded of the word of God, that longing for it proves you're really born again. Now I want to say to all of you, if you have you may not have victory over sin, maybe you're slipping up and falling, but my dear brother, sister, if you have a longing to hear God speak to you and to be reminded of the word of God every day in your mind, you're born again. If you're longing to hear what God has to say to you, you can be sure that that's an indication of birth. You want the word of God. You want it. There's a longing for it.